Greenware by Alicia 8, read by Viluta. Wilson is sitting in the corner of the basement classroom. He thinks I don't know he's there, but I do. It takes me a minute because I see a plaid flannel shirt with the sleeves rolled up, untucked, white t-shirt, and Wilson would dye his hair green rather than let himself be seen in clothes like that. So, this is where you've been hiding out. Wilson looks caught, but he hides it. He keeps his hands where I can see them. Yes, it's my goal in life to keep you guessing, House. I make my way past the long tables. The walls of this place are dusty red brick, tacked with old newspapers, faded comic strips, chicken wire. There are wooden crates piled to the ceiling, exposed ductwork, tools that look suspiciously like torture devices. There are wooden shelves where pots and bowls have been stacked to dry. Wilson is sitting on a stool, bent over a motor-driven potter's wheel, up to his elbows in clay. Something is being formed on that wheel. It looks like an ashtray, but then again, everything here looks like an ashtray. What's with the new wardrobe? I ask, pointing at the clay-flecked flannel. You're sloppy, that's my shtick. Ties get caught in the wheel, says Wilson. Beside Wilson on a long table sits a block of moist clay inside a dingy plastic bag. I poke at it, feeling the soft clay give through the plastic. You didn't tell me you were into this stuff. I draw an H in the clay. I don't tell you a lot of things, says Wilson, not looking up. Call it self-preservation. Call it my need for sanity. Survival. Something. His hand flicks out. He tips his head to the side and wipes his cheek on his clean flannel upper arm. How did you find me anyway? My uncanny skills at deduction found your datebook on your desk. You broke into my office? Wilson glances up at me curiously. He immediately shakes his head. Never mind, I don't want to know. He goes back to working. I stand over the whirring wheel and watch as Wilson dips one slimy hand into the inside of the thing he's sculpting. Elbow crooked in the air, he bends slightly, using his other hand to shape the outside. A neat row of indents forms in the sides of the vessel. He's obviously done this a few times, and I would be impressed if I were the type who got impressed. Wilson stops and switches off the wheel. He picks up a rag and scrubs his hands. I decided to take a class, he explains. He looks down at his creation. What do you think? I look at what he's made. It's not bad. It would make a nice ashtray. So, what happens now? You fire the thing or something? Wilson blinks. You wanna try it? No. Because I could show you. Wilson's already sliding off his stool and gesturing for me to sit. I look at him. I make sure he sees I'm thinking long and hard about it, because I'm an old dog, and he should know better. I sit on the stool. Wilson is delighted. He grabs a wire-looking thingy and cuts his own pot off the wheel, which he then sits on a nearby shelf with the rest of the ashtrays. Then he goes to the bag of clay and digs off a hunk of it and starts slapping it down on the tabletop beside the wheel. I watch, holding my cane between my knees. I watch Wilson's hands, which are broad and white and long. Great hands for sculpting. Wilson works the clay into a ball. He picks it up and is about to drop it on the wheel, but then he points at my wrist. Watch, he says. This is not going to work, I say, taking off my watch. Wilson throws the clay on the wheel and switches it on. Get your hands wet, he says. I dip my hands in a nearby bowl of water, even though the water in the bowl doesn't look much like water anymore. Now my fingers are slimy and wet and silty. I make a face. Before I can ask what to do next, Wilson takes my wet hands in his and guides them over the spinning lump of clay. If you're thinking of reenacting that scene from Ghost, let me know and I'll take my shirt off, I say. Wilson smirks. You want to center the clay on the bat, he says. What's that mean, I ask. Which thing is the bat? The bat is the spinning part, says Wilson, holding onto my hands. The wheel. He puts one of my hands against the side of the clay and the other on top of it. It feels weird, soft but firm, slippery but solid, smooth and cool. Wilson does most of the work for me, pressing my hands against the clay until it's roughly the same shape as a can of cat food, and spinning neatly in the center of the wheel. I watch, peering over our hands, trying not to let Wilson see how amazed I am. "Now use your thumb to find the center," says Wilson, demonstrating by pressing my thumb down gently with his. "When you can't feel it spinning anymore, when there's no friction, that's when you start." "If this is going to be that scene from Ghost," I reiterate, "then you should be a whole lot more naked." Wilson shakes his head, but he isn't mad. He's probably thrilled I've come this far. "So I'm sculpting now," Wilson chuckles. "Yeah." He tries to teach me. He tells me, "This is called jollying." Then he tells me how to move my hands to go slow, to stay centered. I put my thumb in the clay and watch it spin out to form this concave, hollowed-out thing that could, potentially, in some other universe, hold liquid. I do my best, or what I think is my best. It doesn't work out that way. "This sucks," I announce, by the time I'm on my fourth pot. 3 pots have toppled and sagged already. "I should be good at this. I'm good with my hands, I have balance." Wilson laughs. "Yes, I've seen you in surgery. I just took a pill, I should be even steadier." "It takes practice, House, believe it or not." "Says you. Why are you so good at this anyway? You're not autistic." I gather up the remains of my fourth attempt. Wilson doesn't answer, so I make him sit on the stool, so I can watch and learn by observation. It can't be that hard, I think. If I can just see how he does it. Wilson situates himself on the stool, dips his fingers in the water, and forms a bowl in less than 30 seconds. Neat as you please. "Okay, let me." I nudge him out of the way. "I think I've got it now. It's all in the thumbs." Wilson moves to reform the clay, and I sit back down to give it another try. It doesn't work. "This sucks," I say. "Did I mention?" "Yes, you did," says Wilson. "You're not giving yourself room to make mistakes, House. You can't just stab at the clay and expect it to work. You have to be gentle, slow." Wilson demonstrates as he talks, reaching around my shoulder and healing my lopsided pot with a pinch of his wet thumbs and forefingers. "No wonder you've got a reputation for being mind-blowing in bed," I say, eyeing the clay and Wilson's thumbs. "You're a nymphomaniac about everything. You'll probably get a hard-on eating cereal." Wilson gives me a look. I tell him I quit. I tell him clay sucks. He is not surprised. "Toss your own pots," I say, turning to leave. "House, wait!" I hear the stool screech as Wilson stands. I don't turn around. I can sense when he's right behind me. When I finally turn around, Wilson is looking at me with strange eyes. He's holding both hands up, as if he's just scrubbed for surgery, but his hands are muddy, not soapy. He has a smudge of clay on the side of his nose. "House," he says my name the way another person might say, "I dare you." "Sorry, did I say toss? I mean throw. Throw your own pots." Wilson doesn't say anything. He stares at me. He looks alarmed, but he also looks like he's about to tell me a secret, so I don't move. "I'm going to get your shirt dirty," he declares. "What?" Before I can finish, Wilson grabs me by the shirt, rises up, and kisses me. At first, I think, "God damn it, clean shirt." But then I remember that I don't care if my shirts are clean. Then I figure out what's happening, and there's this wall of Wilson, blurry and huge in my vision. And there are eyelashes and an eager, warm, wet mouth, and... "What are you doing?" I ask quickly, pulling back, nearly shoving him to the floor. He doesn't fall. He tries to come back and kiss me again, so this time I do shove him. "Ow!" he mouths woundedly, hip banging off the corner of a table. He rubs it. "Why did you do that?" "Yeah, like you should be asking me that." "I only kissed you. And I only shoved you. And then I only kicked you when you were on the floor. And then I only drove off to drown myself in scotch after you molested me." "House." This time he says my name as a whisper, like he wants to start over, like he wants us to both take a deep breath. He's holding up his hands, bracing for the fight. He steps closer. I step back when I see there's no stopping him. I bump into a wall, and I swallow. "Can't run," I say. "You should stop." "House." He grabs me again, but he doesn't kiss. He just brings our faces close together, inhaling as I exhale. I try to pull away, jerking my head to the side. Wilson follows, locking our foreheads, eyelashes flicking together. "Haven't you ever wanted to try something new?" He sounds breathless. He's talking quickly. He's holding my face with those clay-colored dirty thumbs of his. "Not since New Coke," I say. I do the math. 1985. Huge disappointment. I'm still shaken up. "This is nothing personal," he says, "but I think it had better be. I wanted to see what you'd do, if you'd slug me." "I would, but I'd get dirty." "So you approve?" "I can't run away, in case you haven't noticed." I noticed. He won't let go of my face. He keeps us close, like he wishes we could be closer. Like he wishes I'd beg him for something. Unfamiliar territory. "I'm not gay," I say. "Your face is overwhelming," he says. I don't quite know what he means by that, so when he tries to kiss me again, I let him do it. He slows down, and there's one long, deep kiss that makes me drop my cane and makes Wilson's hands somehow end up at my groin, cupping what's already hard. He doesn't linger, just brushes his clay-crumbling fingers across the denim. I do the same, but I'm a bastard, so I squeeze. Wilson makes a choked noise and nearly falls down. I don't have my cane to lean on, but I manage to hold him upright anyway. "Is this what happens to you after a few ceramic lessons?" I ask. Wilson can't quite breathe. "You'd be surprised what a little three-dimensional thinking can make you appreciate." "Yeah," I say, letting our mouths work together again, breathless and wet. "Stop signs, masonry bricks, the pound cake with a big hole in the middle." I hold up my hand to demonstrate the shape of said cake, but Wilson pushes my fingers back down again. He reaches under my shirt, and I feel his hands brush over my belly and around my sides. They feel strange. His skin is warm, but the clay is cool. "Stop it," I say. "No." His hands slide around to my spine, thumbs tickling. "I can do that too, you know." I find the edges of his white t-shirt and push down with my hands until I find warm skin. Wilson leans closer until we're pressed together, shirts rocked up a little, bellies scraping and trembling every time one of us gasps for air. I have to stop this. It has to stop. I reach for something, for anything. Maybe a large stick to whack Wilson with it. Maybe a brick. Maybe an ashtray, though I'd probably have to explain the scar for that one. My hands find the shelf behind me. On the shelf are plastic jugs that feel dusty. I grab one and pull on it. I pull too hard, and the jug is heavier than I thought. Before I know it, the whole shelf comes down, and Wilson jumps back with a gasp when a dozen plastic jugs hit the cement floor, denting and sloshing where they land. Without Wilson to hold me up, I fall too. The jug I tried to grab comes open as my hand twists. And the next thing I know, I'm kneeling in a puddle of something called Dark Delft, a thick, indigo-tinted milkshake of stinking ceramic glaze. Wilson stands there, breathing heavily. He wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, as if we'd just been boxing, not kissing. "Brilliant," I say. "I'll get some towels," says Wilson. He gets towels and brings them back. He drops them on the floor around me. I'm afraid to move because of my thigh, which doesn't hurt at the moment, but who knows. Wilson kneels to cap the jug of spilling glaze. He moves the towel around me, around my knees, around my hands. Our hair brushes together, and I feel stupid, like I'm stuck. Wilson straightens a few other jugs. Then he helps me to my feet, stepping in blue glaze. We miscalculate, and I end up stumbling against him. I plant my hand against his chest for balance. "Damn it," I say. "Are you okay?" I look up to where my hand is pressing to Wilson's chest. I pull my hand away slowly, and now there's a blue handprint right in the middle of that pretty white t-shirt. "House? See that?" I say. Looks like I found my medium. Wilson glances down at his t-shirt, then helps me the rest of the way to my feet. Then he finds my cane and hands it to me. Gotta clean this up, he mumbles to himself. Don't know what I was thinking. I watch him kick around towels in a feeble attempt to blot up more of the spilled glaze. Forget the ghost scene, I say. Wilson isn't listening. His ears are red. His cheeks are pink. He's sniffing embarrassment. Wilson. What? He looks up, alarmed. I said, forget the scene from Ghost. I stand up, feeling the glaze soaking into my jeans where I fell, sticky and cold. I lean my weight on my cane. We get home after this, and I'll paint you in the nude instead. The end.